Hey guys, this is Fly Tire Mike here, and I wanted to tell you a little bit about this podcast and things that I'm going to talk about, and you know, just go over the whole gamut of why I'm doing this and why I got the urge to do this. Now, I'll be honest with you, I like writing a lot more than these podcasts and things like that, but I just want to explore different avenues in order to try and get my message out there. And what is my message? Well, the main thing that I hope to do through my writing and this podcast, you know, Facebook and Instagram, the whole thing that I would like to do is to, number one, focus on the importance of wild and native fish within our country. And number two, do that in such a way that it helps beginner fly fishermen, new anglers, and basically people who are just starting out, help them out so they have success. And a lot of the things that I see online and in social media is people are really just looking for a place to start. They want a place where they can trust the information that's given to them. It's not just some guy who read the latest issue of, you know, Modern Nymphing magazine talking about how to, you know, Euro nymph. They want to hear real people talking about real issues and real products and real techniques. I emphasize on real because I just hate listening and seeing new people that are just getting caught up in all this gear and all this, you know, hoopla about this technique and that technique, and all they want to do is catch fish, you know. So that's what I hope to do within this podcast. And I also want to piggyback off of the blog that I'm working on called Fly Tire Mike. Now, it's tough to come up with a name for a blog. You want to be catchy and everything like that, but I just chose Fly Tire Mike because that's me, you know. That's who I am, and that's what I want it to be. Now, I may do some different things and learn this whole podcast deal out with, you know, maybe call in some people and talk to them on a podcast, or we'll cover that bridge when it gets to that. Let's just say that I'm not a very computer and podcast person, but I'm pretty good at public speaking and pretty good at writing. So I figure if I can do both of them, we'll let the other things fall in line. So this right now, like I said, it's just early stages. I wanted to give you a background on who I am, you know, what the message of the podcast is, and some of the things that I might have to offer within the podcast if you care to listen to me. So firstly, who am I? I'm Michael Richardson. I reside in the Allegheny Mountains of Pennsylvania. I started tying flies and fly fishing while I was about 16 years old. Now in the early days, I was very good at bait fishing, and I was brought up, fishing. My dad always took me out every chance that he could, realistically. I mean, I believe from his accounts, I was 2 years old and fishing. Now, I wasn't fly fishing yet, but I was fishing. And he really got me interested in the outdoors, you know, fishing in general. I would, you know, I remember one memory, we're out on a canoe on my uncle's lake, and he had he used to live in Louisiana, and he had a shrimp, soft plastic, like a legit shrimp. I said, "Dad, will they eat that?" He's like, "I don't know. Go ahead and throw it on." I threw it on and, you know, gave it a few jigs, and wham, I had like a 15-inch bass. You know, it doesn't help that it was a private lake and it's family-owned, but, you know, since then, it was like, wow, this is cool, you know? And, I mean, he had me fishing since I was little, and I remember, I think it was about 6 or 7, he took me to a native brook trout stream, and he told me about brookies and, you know, all this stuff. They're really pretty. And I just, okay, let's go try this, you know. And I remember catching my first one, and it was on a wax worm. And I about launched him out of the stream because I didn't realize brookies were 3 to 4 inches long. But I remember looking at that fish like, wow, you know, this thing's gorgeous. You know, and I was very young, and, you know, I took it off and let it go. And I always remember that. Now, I got into more fishing, you know, stock trout water and, you know, stringing minnows and such. And my dad and I still fished a lot, and he always took me. But when I went trout fishing, most of the time when I was trout fishing, I went with my uncles. You know, my dad and I hit up lakes a lot. He had a boat and a camper and stuff. But when I went trout fishing, I normally went with my uncles. And they were kind of like what I would consider next level bait fishermen. Okay, we're not talking, you know, spinning rod, casting out a worm and letting it sit. No, like, my uncles, they're legit. And I have to laugh when I say that, because there's a lot of people out there that's, you know, bait fishing so easy. Well, these guys were like next level. Like, they bait fish almost how I Euro nymph fish, you know. They would string minnows, and they would use a 7 or 8 foot fly rod with a automatic fly reel rigged with, you know, mono, and they had their leader set up and all their, you know, they use split shot on there to get it down, and they called it BBs. But, you know, they honestly were next level with this. They weren't casting out a Zebco 202. Like, they were drifting. They knew what the drag free drift was, and they fished that way. And I don't want to say it was because they read a magazine. It's just they knew how to catch fish. And my uncles on that side of the family are of 10, okay? And they needed this fish back in the day to eat, you know what I mean? They didn't have a lot of money, so they wanted to eat. They caught fish, and, you know, they were taught by my grandfather, who, now we're rambling a little bit, but I think this is pretty cool. He was pretty strict, like, a river runs through it, but with, you know, bait fishing version of it. Like, he would tell, now this is secondhand from my uncle's stories, but, you know, he would have both, you know, two of my uncles go out, and they had to get him 50 grasshoppers, and once they got those grasshoppers for him, then they were allowed to go fish, you know what I mean? Because he would use the grasshoppers as bait for, you know, bluegill and trout whenever it was hopper season. So and hearing stories like that, it always amazed me, you know. And when I fish with my uncles, even to this day, you know, I consider myself a pretty good fisherman. But, you know, when I was 7 years old, and, you know, they were teaching me how to string minnows with a needle, and they got me an outfit set up kind of like theirs, you know, it amazed me that they would be able to read the water. And, you know, like, they'd be standing right next to me, and, you know, see that rock out there? The fish like to hang out behind it, you know what I mean? And they taught me all these things, and to the point where we'd be fishing, and they'd have their minnow on, and they'd hit that area, and they'd feel that trout hit, and they'd pull the minnow out of his mouth and say, okay, Mike, you know, there's one right over there. You know, pitch it up here, pitch it upstream, let it drift down, and when it goes around that rock, he's going to grab it. Be ready. You know, me, I could never, at least now, I could never cast a minnow up there and miss a fish on purpose just so somebody else could catch it. Like, I'm not that good. I'm not that quick. But their level of bait fishing was phenomenal, to the point where, like, they had their drift down where they were constantly connected to their bait. Just like how when we Euro nymph fish, we're constantly connected with our flies. And I think that's why, you know, nymphing was kind of easier for me, because I knew how the drift had to be, you know, to be connected like that. So that's just a little background about my beginnings and early stages of fishing. And then once I turned 16, you know, I started trying to tie my own flies and fly fish. And it was actually my buddy who got into it, and he got me into it. And then, you know, us together, you know, we were trying to buy flies and cut grass. And then my other uncle, he would be my mother's sister's husband. So you know, he's my aunt's husband. He was a fly fisherman, and, you know, he was excited to, you know, help us get involved in it. And instead of cutting grass to buy flies, you know, we hit up him, and my buddy about fainted when, you know, my uncle opened up his, you know, big book bag, and he had like 10,000 flies, and he was just like, hey guys, you know, grab what you want. If you need anything, come back. You know, we were ecstatic then, you know, like, holy crap, you know, we're going to get into this, and we have all these flies now, you know. And my uncle had back surgery, and he was kind of laid up, so he tied all these flies, and, you know, he gave them to us. And we went out fishing, and we started to pick up more flies, because, to be honest, my flies were garbage. They'd fall apart and everything else. But I started to take note on his flies, you know, why are his working? What's he doing different, you know? And so I would look at these flies, and I remember adding a bead to my fly, and then I tied a pheasant tail, and it looked so much better, you know, because I didn't have this huge bulky thread thing right behind the eye, and I wasn't able to crowd the hook because there was a bead there. So I remember, you know, catching my first fish on a fly that I tied myself was like awesome, you know. And I think that was, I don't know, probably a couple months into it, and it was on a highly stocked stream and everything else. But like, that fish meant something to me, because finally I was able to do this, you know. And why I want to do my blog and my podcast here is because I want other people to have that feeling that I did, but without so much struggle, you know what I mean. And honestly, I did a blog post on this on my Total Outdoor blog. It's called Full Circle Outdoor Lifestyle. I call it Embrace the Struggle, because the struggle is the most exciting part of fly fishing, you know what I mean. When you're so amped to get out there, and, you know, you just want to catch a fish, you know, and then you finally catch fish, and then you're excited, and you finally get consistent at catching fish, and it's even, you know, more awesome. So as you build and grow, like, that struggle times is the most exciting. Like, you'll never be more excited to catch a 8-inch wild brown trout in your entire life as that first one that you catch. You know, or once you start catching fish consistently, then you want to catch a big one. You know what I mean? Then you catch that first 18-inch fish, and dude, you're ecstatic. You're taking pictures. You're, you know, telling all your buddies. You're just at a loss for words that you finally caught something nice, you know? And then you have your first double-digit day, and you know, like, all those times when you're struggling, and when, hopefully some of you who are listening to this right now, all those times when you're struggling, like, embrace that, love that, own that. You know, you worked hard to get that fish, be proud of that. You know, don't be upset because Fly Tire Mike just posted a 20-inch brownie. You know, so what? I've been doing it since I was 16. I better freaking post something like that, you know what I mean? Or you know, don't get mad because your flies look bad. You know, don't get upset because, you know, Fly Tire Mike, or, you know, insert, you know, fly tire from the internet here, ties these really nice looking nymphs that you don't think you can tie. You can, and you will. And like I said, I hope to, by the you know, by the launch of this blog, I hope to be a reason that you get better at tying, or that you get better at fishing. So that is what I really want to convey, is, you know, don't think you have to post anything on social media. You know, fish for you. Be happy that you caught a fish on a fly that you tied yourself. Be happy about that, man. You know, that's awesome. That's my favorite thing to look at on any Instagram, Facebook, anything, is I caught my first fish on a fly that I tied myself. Awesome. You know, I could give a crap less that this dude that posts all these big fish caught another one. You know, cool. You know, I like looking at fish, but, you know, that's cool. But to see, you know, a 16-year-old kid that's fired up about fly tying, you know, making his own pattern and testing it out and catching a fish. That's what I live for. You know, I think that's awesome, you know. Or, you know, people that put up a picture of them teaching a kid how to make spinners or you know, anything with fishing, you know, took the kids out. They caught fish. You know, we took them home and cooked them up. Awesome. So that's kind of like my background when I was about, you know, I got a little bit off on it, but I'm excited to launch this thing, as you could tell. But so then, you know, then I went to college and I tied flies throughout there, and, you know, my fly fishing actually went down a little bit till I graduated. You know, then I started to get a lot better at flies and actually started a fly tying business. And the reason I did that was my wife was expecting our firstborn, and she'd be on maternity leave, and I wouldn't be able to pay we wouldn't be able to pay all of our bills together collectively. So I was like, well, I have this skill that I could tie flies, I'm going to sell some, you know. So I started to sell some flies, and people are having success, and, you know, I got all fired up, and I thought my flies were awesome, and everybody that used them caught fish. And I had a particular person on a forum, you know, call my flies out and call them garbage and, you know, say they were terrible. And at first I was really, really mad, you know, like, dude, what are you talking about? These look good. They catch fish. But then, you know, that hearing that dude go off about my flies was upsetting, but I let it get to me a little. But then I'm like, you know what? No, I'm going to become better so you don't have anything bad to say about them. And to be honest, I fell into that trap of not accepting constructive criticism. Okay, now the guy was a jerk about how he said it, but what he said made me inevitably, in the end, a better fly tire. So anytime that I correct people or, you know, try to give them insight on their flies, I hope that they don't take what I'm saying off to be a jerk like how I did with that guy. But anyway, so that sparked me to become a better tire. I really perfected my patterns, and I, you know, a lot of people bought flies off me, and the flies are all over the country now. And the thing now, though, is that I have a son and, you know, twin girls, is I don't have the time to be able to hit the demand for my flies, you know, and I feel bad, and I turned down quite a few orders this year already, but it just, you know, I don't have the same time to be able to crank out thousands of flies. So what I want to do in my free time, since I know I can't crank out a ton of flies, is I want to help people learn to tie flies and help people learn to fish. Hence why I'm doing this podcast, or trying to do this podcast and my blog, because I can utilize my free time better and help more people. You know what I mean? So that's basically why I'm doing this, a background on who I am, you know what I mean, and just a little intro to this podcast, and I hope to learn more about podcasting and be able to bring in, you know, special guests and, you know, all that exciting things, you know, things like that. But for now, probably just going to be me talking and picking a few points, or, you know, maybe post a blog and, you know, ask people to submit questions on the blog, so then I can create a podcast kind of giving an overview of the blog post and then answer questions you guys might have had on it, you know what I mean, and just become more involved with the fly fishing community. You know what I mean? I can't even tell you how many people I get messages from, or, you know, requests for how do you tie this pattern, how do you do this, where do I buy materials, and I love getting those questions, but I thought that I would be better served to create a platform, if you will, where people can go and they can, you know, see this fly tying tutorial on how to tie a caddis larva, and it'll list all the materials and step by step, and hopefully at some point an instruction video, you know what I mean, just a different avenue instead of selling flies that I can help people and, you know, in the end possibly make a little bit of money from it. You know what I mean? I'm not out there to make $1 million at all, you know, but I just thought it'd be a way to, you know, make a little bit extra money, and I love to write and I love to help people, so combine those together and this is hopefully what we get. So I'm gonna try to do these, you know, for right now, probably on occasion, but I can think of a ton of different topics that I can cover and maybe even ask you guys to, you know, give me some insight on what you want to hear talked about. Yeah, I might not be able to hit everyone, but I could probably hit a few. So if you're just starting out in fly fishing, or if, you know, this podcast sounds like it's exciting and maybe something you want to listen to, I guess just subscribe and, you know, follow along. I'll try to share the links to these as I go and as I learn more, you know, and maybe if somehow I can make, you know, a little money at this, I'll invest back in better equipment and, you know, grow it. But for now, it's probably just going to be me rambling on about different topics, and we'll go from there. So I just want to say thanks to everybody that, you know, hit me up and suggested that I, you know, give podcasting a try, and, you know, maybe we can grow this into something a little bigger. You know, maybe we can reach a lot of people and help a lot of people. Maybe you can get interviews with people you want to hear from, not just me. So, with that being said, good luck if you're out there fishing. You know, keep at it if you're tying flies and struggling a little bit. And don't be afraid to reach out for me if you have a question on anything, you know. Fly tying, fly fishing. I'm not a professional by any means, but I can catch fish and tie flies. So, feel free to hit me up anytime you want on any of the social media platforms or anything like that. So, thanks again for listening, and we'll try to do this again sometime.